welcome to our broadcast. We're in the book of Jude. Have your Bible ready if you can. Reading in the book of Jude, verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love, be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to look at these first four verses today. It starts out and it says, to them, verse 1, three things it talks about them. Who are they? They are those who are sanctified, preserved, and called. Now, to be sanctified is to be set apart, and that's what God expects of everyone who is a Christian. We are set apart to serve Him. If all there is to us getting saved is so that we get a trip to heaven, the Lord might as well have taken us there 1 second after we got saved. We're saved to serve, and we need to be serving the Lord. We're set apart for that. Also, He says we are preserved. Now, well, that means to maintain in its original state. And keep in mind, this is all done by God, and it's in Christ, verse number 1. You don't have to work at it. Once you're saved, you're saved, if indeed you are saved in the first place. Then he says we are called here in verse number 1. And what he's talking about is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ye are called. Now, if you look at the first chapter and the first verse in the book of Ephesians, you'll see that this book is written to Christians, all right, to the saints. Now, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, for example, are not written to the church in general or to Christians in general. They are written to the pastor and directed to him. We have 7 letters to 7 pastors in the book of Revelation, and they were to preach what he was told, the pastor was told, he was to preach it to the church. But the letters were written to him. Now, when you get to the book of Ephesians, it's very plain that this is for all Christians, for the saints, it says. So to the saints, to all of us, he says, I therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself what it's there for. And the reason it's there is because for 3 chapters, he has talked about our position in Christ. Now he says, I want you to learn about your path in Christ and how we should be doing things. So he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, this word vocation is the same word that is translated called at the end of the verse. And so, vocation sounds a little bit too much like vacation to me. What it's really saying is that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. And so, he says here in the book of Jude, he says that we are sanctified, we are preserved, and we are called. Now, it is not by chance that we are alive in this age of apostasy. God could have had us born in the age when the revivals were going. He didn't. We're here now, and God makes no mistakes. We're here, and we're called to be a testimony in this age of apostasy, and we just need to smarten up and start doing it. Now, the next thing he says here in verse number 2, he talks about 3 things. He says, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy multiplied? Well, we sure need that. Mercy is the forgiveness that is shown to people who are undeserved. Well, that's us. That's all of us. None of us deserve what we get from God. It wouldn't be mercy if we deserved it. And then he says, not only that is to be multiplied, but peace to be multiplied. Do you have peace in the midst of apostasy? We're looking at an age when there's anarchy all over the whole world, and you only listen to the news. It's pretty negative what's going on these days. By the way, it's all prophesied in the Bible. We are at the end of the age. But we can have that peace that passes understanding in the midst of this apostasy if we will let the Lord have his way in our lives. Peace that passes understanding. Well, not only mercy and not only peace, but he says love in the midst of apostasy. Now, when we talk about apostasy, it's a different thing than talking about the apostate. There's two different things. The apostate is the person. The apostasy is the poison that he's promoting. Now, we don't hate apostates. We are to love the apostate and hate the apostasy. And there's a big difference here. So the battle is not against the apostate. We don't hate unsaved people, but we hate any doctrine that would lead people away from Christ. And so he says, mercy, peace, and love. Now in verse 3, he says, beloved, and let's read that verse. It is probably the most misunderstood verse in the Bible. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered under the saints. Now, he says, I am writing to you about this common salvation. Now, you know, we've been taught that, Jude wanted to write about salvation, but because of the apostasy, he had to write something else. That is absolutely ridiculous. That is not what this portion of Scripture is saying. He said, beloved, I want to write to you about the common salvation. That word common has been translated unclean 3 times. It has been translated defiled, and it has been translated unholy. He said, I need to write to you about this unholy, defiled, unclean salvation that is being promoted. Paul put it this way in that same timeline. He said, he talked about those who had gone after another gospel. And that's what he's talking about here. A gospel message that is unclean, defiled, and unholy. Now, we're living in the age of apostasy when we are being flooded with apostasy, as I said in our last broadcast, even within our fundamental churches, where it's being promoted that you do not need to repent in order to be saved. Why? For 2,000 years we've done it God's way. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says he commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent. You need to repent. Oh no, we can't have that anymore. Let's drop that, because we can't get a crowd in our church and we got to tell them they got to repent. That's kind of offensive. Let's just drop that. We know what that is. That's another gospel. That is a common gospel. That is a common salvation. That is an unholy, defiled, unclean thing that is now being presented in many, many of our fundamental independent Baptist churches. And so Jude was writing about this. He says it's going to happen in this age of apostasy, and it is happening today. Let's get our eyes open and see what's going on. Now, what are we supposed to do? He says, I exhort you, he said, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, you're going to contend for something. It's to earnestly contend for the faith, not to contend against the apostasy, but to contend for the faith. Now, you're going to do that earnestly. The dictionary says that word means to be sincere with intense conviction for the faith, to contend. Now, to contend is to assert something as a position in an argument, as a position, to assert it. Now, to assert something is to state a belief confidently and forcefully. You know, silence gives consent. This is not a time when we need to be sitting around and being silent about this apostasy that is flooding into our fundamental Baptist churches. This is a time to earnestly contend for the faith and to open our mouths, quit being silent. You know, silence isn't always golden. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. What we need to do is state what we believe confidently and forcefully. No, we can't do that because the people might leave the church if we do that. Well, let them go. Just preach the word of God and let God be God, and he'll take care of who he wants in the church. He doesn't need our help in that department. And so he says here that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Certain men, he says, they crept in. I call them Bible creeps. They come in. They come in unawares. And it says they're ordained to this. Now, that word ordained, it means in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it's translated written aforetime. It was written aforetime that they would come in. He said, this is not something that should catch you off guard. God has said it's going to happen, and it's happening. We're living in an age of apostasy, and we need to understand that. But what we do need to do is live the way God wants us to live, and that's what this whole book is about. We saw in our last broadcast, he said, yeah, but the apostasy is coming in. But beloved, he said, but ye beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Verse 20. And so he talks about these people being ungodly. Now, the word, the prefect un is denoting the absence of something. And so we're looking here and we're saying something is absent concerning what God expects. That's all ungodly means. We got some idea that must be immoral or something. No, to do something that is what God, against what God wants us to do, is wrong. It's ungodly. It's just that simple, and that's where we're living today. Very few people are much concerned about what's going on in our churches and what's going on in this age of apostasy. Well, he says they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to turn is some place on the path where we branch off from the truth and deny the Lord, just refusing to speak the truth. We need to just speak the truth and let the Lord take care of the, you know, when we preach the truth, the Holy Spirit would convict people and they would get saved. Now we've got a big plan, and I call it incentive salvation. You know, we talk to people, we say, now, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, who wouldn't? Well, just pray this prayer and you can go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Why do we offer an incentive? Even if there was no heaven, and there is, but if there was no heaven, we need to repent because we have offended a thrice holy God, and we need to repent. Whatsoever you do to all to the glory of God, well, we only repent because it glorifies God, not because it gives us a free ticket to heaven. That's a great byproduct, but that's not the reason to repent. So we've been bringing this incentive salvation plan, that we've been coming in with, oh, you don't need to repent, just pray this prayer, we'll dip you into baptistry, and they even think they're saved. There's tons of people in our churches who are on the road to hell because they prayed a prayer and they think they're saved. Well, you know, we look in, Catholics are praying prayers all the time. They're praying every day. They go down there and they pray their prayers. How come? You know, we say, well, that doesn't work. It works for the Baptists and it doesn't work for them. No, it doesn't work for anybody. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What part of that is too hard to understand? Seems pretty simple to me. Well, tune in again tomorrow. We'll have another broadcast for you.